you can say that the intensity of the catalyst generated by Ra's naive intervention, and Yahweh too, multiple technical transfers, multiple substantial acts of service, intervention physically, spiritually, many times. The intensity of that catalyst, which is basically, the intensity of the consequences, let's say, the severity, the sever, we're not talking about grievous mistake, severity of the neg of the consequences, which is basically genocidal, the genocidal consequences, slaughter, democidal consequences of Ra's interventions and Yahweh. Represent a very serious imbalance between love and wisdom, even though they're at late sixth density. And so the severity of the consequences, the degree of it being grievous, or I'll use that term, grievous source of regret or something like that. So the severity of the consequences in terms of butchery, slaughter, flourishing of negativity in this group is comparable to the magnitude of the imbalance of Ra and Yahweh of love over wisdom, even though they're in late sixth density. And so Council of Saturn said, okay, boys, you need some more training. Yeah, Ra said, session 4126, Don was asking, can you tell me of the development of the social memory complex Ra from its first beginnings? This is such a long question he asked. From its first beginnings and what catalyst it used to get to where it is now in activation of rays? Is this too long a question? Yes, it is. But Ra said, the question doesn't demand a long answer because they're just giving the summary. And they're saying, we're fortunate. We who experienced the vibratory densities upon Venus were fortunate being able to move in harmony with the planetary vibrations with an harmonious graduation to second from the mineral, to second, to third, to fourth, and greatly accelerated fourth density experience, right? Accelerated because they're so love-centered. We spent much time space in fifth density, balancing the intense compassion we gained in fourth density. Graduation again was harmonious into sixth, and our social memory complex, which had become most firmly cemented in fourth density, remained of a very strong and helpful nature. However, I say, they say, our sixth density work was also accelerated, right? That's the resonance between four and six. Our sixth density resonance was also accelerated because of the harmony of our social memory complex, so they were able to set out as members of the Confederation to even more swiftly approach graduation to seventh density. That doesn't mean that they didn't, it doesn't mean that they weren't members of the Confederation, setting out or in planet in you know interplanetary service before sixth density. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. I would assume they were Confederation members, but they're saying we set out as members to even more swiftly approach graduation to seventh density, and then they give the kicker, which is our harmony, however, has been a grievous source of naivete as regards working with your planet. Grievous, meaning leading them to grief, which is extreme regret. And the degree of how grievous they feel by the unintended consequences of their service, and Yahweh's too, is in some ways a reflection of how imbalanced or how significant the imbalance was in love over wisdom, even late sixth density. They have great social harmony and they're very strong and they're very tight. But that's easy. That's not so hard. Love is really not that hard. I mean, it's hard to be, like Yeshua goes to the cross and forgives the people who killed him. That's kind of hard. But once you're in higher densities, love is not that complex, and there isn't, the surrender to absolute acceptance is much smoother, or there's some kind of natural ease. It's sort of like just jump, just jump, just take it. Just let it come through you. Just be quiet and allow. That's much simpler than wisdom. And so they have a kind of significant distortion of love or wisdom. Well, I think the thing is that fourth and fifth chakra appear separate, but they're really a single chakra. In the same way as love and light can be, we can distinguish that the essence of light is love, because it came out of the infinite love of the boundless love of the infinite creator, right? The action of free will upon love is the origin of light. Well, if we talk, when we're talking about origin, we're talking about linearity or linear sequence, right? First we have infinity, and then we have infinity becoming aware of itself, and then we have infinity self-aware or aware infinity focalizing, and then we have focalized or focused aware infinity acting by its discovering the concept of finity, recognizing the concept of finity, and acting by its free will upon its love, infinite will upon infinite love to generate light. And that's the logos, and that's light love, or light, the third principle, the law of will, the law of free will, the law of love, law of light. Free will upon the law upon the love goes to the light. But that's, a linear perspective. It's actually all simultaneous. And all those elements are really one element, or perspectives, ways of seeing infinity. Particular foci or focalized, focal points in conceptualizing the activity of infinity. But it's really one substance. So you can say, there's the Kuroshio current in North Atlantic, North Pacific, right? There's one current, there's an energy, there are currents under the ocean in the North Pacific and in the South Pacific and the Indian Ocean and the Atlantic, right? So there are these major ocean currents. Meanwhile, it's one body of water globally. And every move here affects every move there, and it's all in interrelationship, or it's a single body of water. So likewise, we can say there's the frequency of light called love, and the frequency of light called wisdom. And that shows us, and then we think of, okay, there's blue and green, green and blue. Well, green is love and blue is wisdom, and that's that. And one could be called heart, the other ones could be called mind, and that's our perception or our experience. And that's really a dualistic conception or concept based on perception, which is limited. Ra said the blue-green center. So that's why I said love or wisdom is a higher octave of love. They're really the same. Now, if we keep with the distinction, love or wisdom, different, thinking they're different, or looking at one side of the coin as love and the other as wisdom, the wisdom side, I think, what is wisdom? Wisdom seems to be accurate and effective, functionally effective concept, conceptuality of process or of phenomena. Systems, process, and phenomena. It's a clear conceptuality, clear conceptualization, accurate and effective. It's functionally effective. So if I say the wheel is round, based on my understanding of what round means, it's effective, it's functional, because what, calling the wheel round, I can put four under my car and roll. But if I call the wheel square, or if I call a cube round, right? I'm calling the cube round, and I put four cubes under my car, I won't be able to roll very well. And so to say that's round of a wheel is more functionally effective than to say it's square or rectangular. And to call a cube rectangular or a box with, with 90 degree angles is better than saying it's a round wheel. Just call the box or the cube a round wheel because it just doesn't work as a wheel. Right? This is a philosophy. The wisdom, the discernment that a cube is square and the wheel is round is functionally effective. It fits the phenomenon in a way that it wouldn't if you say that the wheel is square and the cube is round. Okay? So it's all self-referencing. It's all concepts within a conceptual system. But it fits material phenomena or systems and processes. So I'm saying that's the aspect of what I'm calling, the aspect of my definition of wisdom being functionally effective conceptualization of process or systems or phenomena. I mean, I don't know everything, I don't know anything, but that's how I see it from a very limited view. There are other ways of talking about it, of course. But that accurate functional conceptualization or knowing how things really are, how things really work, or at least in terms of their relative appearance and function, structure and function, effectively to be able to interact with whatever, whether it's physical wisdom of physical world or wisdom of the mental world or the wisdom of interdimensional, wisdom of energy, the wisdom of philosophy, the wisdom of knowing soul evolution, cosmic plan, is the wisdom conceptualization of those systems, processes, and phenomena, how they really work. So if I say the way to chakra blockage release is love, understanding, and acceptance, acceptance, understanding, and love, that really does work. Rather than say the way to chakra blockage release is to offer paper to the ancestors. A lot of people offer paper money to the ancestors here. And what does it get them? It doesn't get them much of anything. Maybe they have some greater sense of self-confidence or self-appreciation that they've done something kind for their ancestors. It doesn't involve, psychological self-reflection or finding how I'm causing my pain in life. Well, it's called spirit worship or propitiation, ritual propitiation. Propitiate means to kind of make the gods happy. Like offering offering burnt sacrifice, burnt offerings. You'll offer, animals or children or blood or paper or, you bow on your knee or you have a, 100 Hail Marys or do the mantra to Chen Rezig or somebody. All of these rituals may be considered sort of making the gods happy so they'll help us. And there is some validity to that, but it doesn't go very far. So, wisdom then is knowing what works, knowing what is and knowing what works, or knowing how to do things, how to change things, how to succeed, knowing what's effective, and what allows continual improvement in experience, whether that's alone or by interaction, I think. That knowing, those, that whole realm of knowing is actually the result of seeing. Seeing what is, seeing clearly. It's the result of an accurate internalization of the apparent external. And so the person has received, you can't know until you accept, or you can't really comprehend until you've received that which you're intending to comprehend. And so that's how understanding or acceptance is the basis of our understanding, and that's the basis of wisdom. So Ra makes a distinction, obviously, between understanding and wisdom, even though they kind of play with them a little bit, because love and understand love, acceptance with love, or acceptance that is love, leads to understanding, but that's not yet fifth chakra. That's not the same as wisdom light. And wisdom light has other characteristics that are formless beyond thought form. They're not only thought form, but there's higher than thought form. Well, wisdom, fifth chakra, partakes of the spirit complex in a way that fourth chakra does not. And so the etheric energy field, or the etheric energy, the etheric body, the energy field associated with sixth chakra, sixth density, which is ultimately the body of unity, or the one etheric field of the octave, is accessed to a greater degree by fifth chakra wisdom than fourth. Fourth really doesn't. And so there's a certain power, the first aspect of will. Will, then love, then light. Love in this case just means enabling, second principle, different than fourth chakra love. But the third principle, light, which is the octave love light, which is really the seven colors, seven densities, that is accessed in a certain way. The logos is accessed in a certain way by fifth chakra that fourth is not. And that's direct reality beyond any thought form whatsoever. It's formless, while thought form is still form. So in the physical, first, second, third chakra, first, second, third density, it's an experience. The Buddha called it the world, the desire world, because particularly third density. He didn't say third density. He said three realms, desire, form, and formless. Desire, I correlate with third density human, which is the unstable mind that is never satisfied and always wanting more and never fulfilled. And no desire ever fulfills fully or permanently, because everything is being experienced, the feeling, the sensation, the perception, and the sensation, and the conceptions, the consciousness of any gain, of any desire, physical, emotional, social, mental, spiritual, the sensations, the perceptions, the conceptions, the thought forms, the consciousness and awareness of that whole thing is all anicca anatta. It's all impermanent and insubstantial. So any gain, whether it's a gained sensation, pleasure, gained perception of seeing, a gained understanding, comprehension, conception, gained consciousness or basic awareness, all those gains are anicca anatta. They're all impermanent dhammas. They're all changeable, and they're insubstantial. So of course they're dukkha. So of course they're unsatisfactory. And so all seeking, ultimately, unless we're seeking that which is uncreated, seeking infinity, seeking to dissolve all all belief in seeking, seeking to be free of seeking. Only that ultimate achievement, which is basically out of the octave, is absolute happiness. And so third density mind is very much desire filled. Fourth and fifth are very much resonant with what Buddha calls form realm, which is basically thought form, energy form. And sixth and seventh density is very much formless, or correlates to the Buddhist understanding of the formless realm. And sixth chakra, sixth density, is like the infinity of space or infinity of consciousness. It's boundless, right? Unity is infinity, but Ra said they're not fully dissolved yet. That's true, because they're not in 7-8. And so unity is the counterpart to duality, or the experience of unified self is the counterpart or the counterpole to the experience of a separative self or identity. that's not yet resolved into the unity of infinity or infinite unity, which is beyond any conception of unity. And that's 7-8. So wisdom partakes of 6-7-8 in a way that fourth ray doesn't. And that's beyond thought form. It's touching the thought, the formless, and touching beyond the formless, because the formless 6-7 dimensions are not a heck of a lot different than eighth density, actually. It's basically the difference between unity and kind of form of infinity, infinite light or infinite energy beyond identity, seven, and then real infinity fusion in eight. So 6, 7, 8 are not too different. And fifth chakra wisdom partakes of that which is beyond thinking in a way that fourth doesn't. And that's the difference between those who work with love wisdom versus those who work only with love, who are very limited. Right, it was, I think it was, I just heard this today. It was, I think it was observation, acceptance, understanding, balancing, knowing, and forgiveness. Well, it is the same. There's only one path. So it's the same. But there are two different ways of talking about it. He was really saying that in dealing with personal process, psychological process or shadow, dealing with emotional conflict and patterns in mind, you either see that they're empty or you have to work through them step by step. And so both are really going to be done anyway. The Buddhist path, see, Ra said that the proper role for the entity in third density is to experience all things desired, and then to analyze those desires and the consequences with wisdom, love wisdom, and distill the love light meaning value from them. And as we do that, then our path gets clearer, and we replace one desire with a higher or more clearly love light filled, understanding wise set of desires. That's step by step. The Buddhist path is very much about insight. And so the monks, some of the monks, really, I mean, some of the guys who achieve, non-returner, higher self, Anagami, some of the guys who achieve Arahant, fourth stage, complete and perfect enlightenment, or freedom from the octave, still had desires. But they wanted awakening and complete release so much that they were willing to suffer the pain of those desires in their mind not being fulfilled, the pain in mind from not fulfilling them, while because they had a higher desire. That's not the same as the progression by that Ra is talking about of experiencing all things desired. So the Buddhist way is very much about seeing through, and the way of psychology and going with your planet, graduating with your group after the dimensional cycle of higher dimensions on your planet. That's the way of seeing it through. Seeing the stages, the progressive stages of evolution through one by one, rather than seeing that the whole endeavor is empty, and thereby getting to the finishing it that way. So one is working through desire, and the other way is setting aside desire and suffering the deprivation of not fulfilling them in order to realize the emptiness of the whole mind process as a whole, meaning the emptiness of what we feel we desire. Ra's not saying you should sit and meditate and see the emptiness of your desires, or restrain yourself. Ra's only saying restrain yourself when it'll hurt, impinge on the free will of another. So these are two ways of doing the same path. It is possible, but Buddhism, even by insight, which is Vipassana, has four stages. So there's still stages, but those four stages can be done in a single lifetime or in just a few lifetimes. Actually, they're done in seven lifetimes. It's said in Buddhism, and I believe it's true, that the person who achieves Sotapanna will be completely and per will go to complete and perfect enlightenment in seven lifetimes, which need not be on earth or in this density. They can achieve the freedom, complete and perfect enlightenment, freedom from the octave, I say, meaning I'm interpreting it in Ra's term. They can achieve complete and perfect enlightenment, arahat, or freedom from the octave, or the state of, omniscience, omnipotence, omnipresence, in seven lifetimes after Sotapanna. That's the way it goes. And that basically just means that that person is in the stream leading to freedom from the octave in a way that they weren't before. And so a person can harvest into fourth density by Sotapanna, and a person can harvest into that's contact with intelligent infinity in a certain way that seems to be different than 51% serves to other. But in any case, there's the gradual and the instantaneous, but they're both gradual. It's just that the fast path of seeing through is sort of like instead of going for 2 billion years, you only go for 50,000 years, but it's still progressive. It's just instead of going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, you go 1, 4, 5, 6, 7, bang. You go, you leap forward. Instead of going, A1, A2, A3, B1, B2, B3, you just go A, B, C, D, bang. Like that. So that's what Ray Vespi said, nothing else. And he didn't say understanding, acceptance, forgiveness. Well, yeah, that's what he said, which I think is brilliant, and that's because he understands those two ways of ascension, gradual and instantaneous. But the instantaneous, or the based on insight, is also progressive, meaning there are four stages of enlightenment. Except those four can be done a lot faster than going with your planet and simply waiting for dimensional shift at each level. So, well, thank you everyone for being here tonight, and see you next week. Have a good night and take good care of yourselves. Okay, bye for now.